SPS is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
SPM is go.
Safety comms is go.
SPE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night, 12th of April. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. It's Friday.
Yay.
it's always a good thing when it's Friday.
Yes.
You know?
It actually means after posting the show, no more having to deal with Facebook.
Yeah. You know, we get a day or day and a half off.
Yeah, from their nonsense.
You know, it's been an interesting week on Facebook. You mentioned Facebook and their nonsense. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm getting a whole bunch of old stuff coming through my feed. And by old, I mean maybe a year old.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and I can't quite figure that out.
No, I haven't had any of that.
You know, the stuff that people posted a year ago is showing up in my feed.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Well, what I'm getting more than anything is your post has to be approved.
Right.
Before it's posted, even in groups you administer on.
I know, which is dumb.
So I have to approve myself.
Right.
You see what happens now with Facebook.
If I was you, I wouldn't do it.
What happens with them now is we're not breaking community standards, so they can't get us on that. So they just try to find ways to slow us down.
And they succeed.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can work around it to a point.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still a pain in the butt.
Oh, it is absolutely a pain in the butt. What I find now is when I post one of my articles, and the link is always in there, and the lead picture always used to come up with it, and it was just one click to post. Now it's three or four clicks to post each thing, because I have to take out the RSP logo, put in the picture, which should have, you know, just 2 months ago came up with no problem. They're just slowing us down. They can't get us on what they want to get us on, so they make things up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the liberal way, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
I mean, really, when you get right down to it. Folks, we got a lot of stuff we need to talk about tonight, and let's dive right into this because Diane and I were talking a little bit earlier today, and we're both of the same mind. I think all hell is about to break loose in the Middle East. What we're looking at right now are apparently some very credible threats that Iran is making against Israel, and they're saying this could happen really at any moment.
Yeah, well, if you remember about a month or month and a half ago, when Mudar Zaghlon was our guest, he's the Secretary General of the Jordanian Coalition of Opposition. And I said, I know when they're going to attack, when something's going to happen. It's going to happen between the end of Ramadan and the start of Passover. And sure enough, that seems to be exactly when. But the problem is, Israel did not bomb the building in Damascus where the seven Revolutionary Guard Corps members were killed, including one of their leaders. Israel and the United States, who Iran is blaming both of us, had nothing to do with it. Personally, and I'll be talking about this next week in an article, I think Iran did it on their own to start something.
You can't put it past them. I mean, right. You know, it wouldn't be the first time that they've, right. You know, pulled a move like that. But they're saying, Iran, that is, they're saying that they are going to, you know, retaliate against Israel for that, and they want to retaliate against us for that. In fact, there's been some movement over in Israel on our part this afternoon. Travel for U.S. Civilians and U.S. Mm-hmm. members of the State Department and stuff has been restricted by our side, not by Israel, but by us. In Israel, because of this quite possible imminent attack. And Diane, there was also some movement of our Navy over there.
Major movement. And this is quite shocking because Biden has approved some of our aircraft carriers, our battleships, to head over in that area. Now, I think this is all for show. I don't know what would happen if an actual war between Iran and Israel broke out, but I do know it will not end well for Iran, because what Iran forgets, while they might have one, possibly two nukes already, Israel has 365 plus. I really don't think Iran wants to escalate this. And that's the word coming out of Israel. They, too, don't think Iran wants to escalate this because the mullahs, they're just ridiculous, these mullahs. But they're not so dumb as to think that if they dare to send a nuke or something into Tel Aviv or Haifa or major areas, that Israel will sit back and take it. They won't. Well, it will be the last of Iran.
Let me ask you this, because right now, as things stand over there, there are more questions than there are answers.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you one of the questions. Do you think that the people of Iran want a war with Israel?
No. I think the last thing, especially the young people, the ones that have been protesting and getting no help from us, but the ones that have been protesting and really want to break free of these mullahs, I think if a war broke out, they might actually surrender.
You know, we've seen that, you know, before. Mm-hmm. The, what do they call it? The Revolutionary Guard, the Iranian
right.
Revolutionary Guard.
Right.
In times of heated conflict, they're pretty quick to surrender because they know they can't withstand the bombardment.
No, and a lot of the Iranians remember back when the Shah was in power. And yeah, while, you know, he had his issues as well, the people were basically free and they were very, very westernized. And I personally know one whose family was part of the Iranian diplomatic corps here to the into the U.S. And when the Shah was overthrown, first thing he did was get his whole entire family the hell out of there.
Well, you can't blame him.
What was coming.
Right. I mean, you can't blame him.
Right. And the people, a lot of the older people in Iran, they want the mullahs gone as well. There is a faction, of course, of Islamists, diehard Islamists, death to the U.S., death to Israel. But I don't think their numbers are as great as Iran purports them to be.
Well, and I think there's a lot of truth in what you just said, and I'll tell you why. People over there understand if they don't toe the line, if they don't toe the radical line and the moolah line, right, there's a good chance they will just simply vanish.
Exactly.
So when these rallies are held and we see, you know, video coming out of these, you know, rallies on the streets of Tehran, let's say, we see thousands and thousands of people chanting death to America, death, you know, to Israel.
Right.
It's questionable how many of those thousands and thousands of Iranians actually believe that. My thought is that there's a lot of them that are out there doing it, joining in, you know, chanting and marching in the street simply to avoid being shot themselves by their own government.
That's what I think, because the young people there do not want this. They're tired of it. And today, before we got on, my husband and I were talking about a news story that came out of Iran today. Two girls, which is very rare, graduated from, I guess it's Tehran University, and they were real happy that they graduated, and they had their hijabs on and that nonsense, the garbage bags, but on top they had put their mortars, you know, with their tassel, and they were riding on their motorcycle, I guess, back home or whatever. Well, they were pulled over, and they are now in jail facing serious charges.
For wearing the mortar.
For wearing that, and for dancing and being happy.
Oh, we can't have happiness.
No.
So we'll have none of that.
Know, I don't think the young people are going to take this anymore. Remember, Iran is the country where that young girl was killed last year.
Right.
And the young people have had enough. They want to be westernized.
Let me ask you the next, I guess, obvious question.
Mm-hmm.
Biden is moving warships, destroyers, and aircraft carriers into the region.
Mm-hmm.
I said earlier, that's all for show. You know, if hostilities break out, what mm-hmm. do you really think Biden's response to it is going to be with these warships in the area?
Personally, well, remember, he's the one that issued a warning today to Iran on TV. One word, don't.
Again, and with then, the don't. I mean,
yeah.
that is probably the stupidest foreign policy statement anybody could make.
Yes. Well, after he said that, suddenly, though, the warships were on their way. So I give him credit for at least authorizing that, because we know Obama would never authorize that. However, I think if there is a war there, remember, these men and women that are on these ships, this is not the woke nonsense, guys. These are guys on our warships, our battle cruisers, our aircraft carriers. I would say 95 to 99% of them are pro-Israel. I think they will stand with Israel and do what needs to be done. I think the commanders of the ships might say, oh, we lost contact with Washington. We better do what we think is the right thing to do. I know that sounds crazy, but you're playing with different kind of people here. And you also have our country's leader who is not dealing with a full deck. So I think these generals and admirals very well might take it into their own hands and say, shoot, do whatever, you know, send the bombs in, whatever. But hopefully it won't come to that. But I think it will.
You know, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, If we're talking about our military and they're not woke, okay, the ones that are in command on the ships in the theater,
right.
I think they'll follow whatever orders they get from the Pentagon. And so I guess my question is, Do you think the Pentagon under Biden will order them to engage? And if they do, what do you see as the outcome of that?
It depends on who is issuing the order. If it's some ridiculous person that our own generals and admirals have no respect for, I think they'll go ahead anyway. I think the brass that is actually in fields of war see things for what they really are. They're not the pencil pushers in Washington. These are the people actually engaged. And they know if Israel falls, they're coming for us next.
I guarantee you they know that.
And I would even say so much that if there is a war, I think Putin is going to stay out of it. And well, so Putin, will China.
Putin's got his hands full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he doesn't want to get involved in that situation. I really don't think he does. I think personally, to answer my own question, I think the orders from the Pentagon are going to be do not engage unless engaged upon. And if engaged upon, your response must be okayed by the Pentagon and it cannot be a full-blown response. And
I don't think so.
Well, and I'll tell you why I think that. It's because we are in an election year.
And that's exactly why I think you're wrong.
Okay, so why do you think I'm wrong? Tell me why I'm wrong. And then I'll tell you why I think I'm right.
If there is an escalation of the war, and I'm only saying if, remember the bump that Obama got when he, quote, took out Osama bin Laden, even though we know the true story, but the bump he got. Biden needs something positive on his side. Imagine there is an escalation there, and the U.S. comes in, and they have the chance to be the heroes. Biden is not going to allow that not to happen. He needs it.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you why I think you may be wrong. And at this point, between the two of us, folks, this is all speculation on our part.
Right. Right.
Okay. But here's why I think you might be wrong. Okay. In normal circumstances, a bump like that would aid the incumbent. These are not normal circumstances. Biden's base, the liberal base in this country, is already frothing at the mouth because they say Biden is helping Israel engage in genocide. And I think, my personal opinion, if the thing escalates, as you said, and Biden gives the order to go ahead and let's have at it, he's going to lose his entire base. This being an election year, and his base being anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, and therefore pro-Iran, anything Biden does to aid Israel, he's going to lose his base voters. That's my thought.
Yeah, and I just don't agree with that, because reports have been coming out also concerning Biden's voters. Now, many Black Americans are very unhappy with Biden right now. They've been thrown under the bus for the illegals. However, there was a big survey done a couple of days ago of a large number of Blacks. And they said, yes, we're very mad at this, blah, 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 et cetera. Will you vote for Trump? No.
No, they'll stay home. A lot of them.
No, they said they would still vote for Biden.
Yeah.
The dynamics of the election this year is vastly different because of the war. It's very different than what it's been in the recent past. And I don't think that those in the Pentagon, the real generals. I mean, the hardcore, non-rogue, real military people who've made the military their career and their life. They are not going to allow Israel to fall to Iran. Not that Israel would, but they will support Israel.
I don't see any other option. I hope that's the case, but I just don't think so. This is such a weird situation right now. I mean, when you look at who's running the Pentagon, Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, okay, yeah. And you know, you've got the whole DEI crap going on in our State Department. You've got it in the Pentagon. You've got all this woke nonsense. You've got the you know, anti-Israel, pro-Hamas faction, and it's a big piece of the liberal voter base right now. I don't think Biden is going to want to engage in a war that helps Israel right now. That's why I think moving these warships and all this and putting them in place and pointing guns is about as far as it's going to go, unless the ships themselves get attacked. And then I think the response will be very measured. I mean, that's my thought. I'm not so sure about that.
He needs the publicity. Right. He needs a win.
Well, you could be right. I could be right. Only time is going to tell.
But
the situation tonight, you know, as we speak, is very, very tense because, you know, when, like you said at the top of the show, when we had Mudar on a few weeks ago, you know, and he was, you know, talking about, you know, expect this to ramp up. And the first thing you said was, I'll bet you it happens between Ramadan and Passover. Well, Ramadan ended 3 days ago.
Right. And Passover
is coming up in about 10 days.
Right. And if you go back through history and you notice when Israel's enemies love to strike, it's either on a high holy day or near it.
Either theirs or somebody else's. If, you know, whoever they're planning to strike, if it's one of their holy days, that's when they go. Or it's one of Iran's high holy days, you know, right in that window so that they can take advantage of the fervor of all that, you know, Ramadan nonsense.
Iran usually doesn't attack on their holy days.
No, but usually, I mean, this is right after. It's right in that window.
Right. Now it's the window. But history has shown they don't usually attack during their holy days. However, they attack their enemy on the enemy's holy days. Remember the Yom Kippur War.
Right.
They're not dealing with full decks. No. You know, these mullahs. So their whole thinking is very convoluted. But all I know is if they keep it to a limited response, like some people are coming out of Israel are saying, even though Israel had nothing to do with it, it will not escalate the war. However, if they do something like lob something into Tel Aviv or Haifa, Iran might have just signed their own death warrant.
Yeah, at that point, all bets are off.
Yes.
You know, and let's face it, Ramadan ended 3 days ago. That means after a month of fasting, all those Iranian soldiers are well fed and ready to go.
Yeah, some fast. What, for 8 hours you don't eat?
Oh, no, it's not even that. According to the rules of Ramadan, because I looked this up, according to the rules of Ramadan, you have breakfast.
Right.
Okay. And then you fast until dinner. But in between, you know, while you're skipping lunch, you're allowed to have snacks.
Yeah. I mean, please, we don't even get into that nonsense. You did an article, I remember, a few years ago about that nonsense.
I mean, but those are, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but those are the rules. You have breakfast, then you have snacks, you skip lunch, and then you have appetizers and dinner.
Yeah. That's not a fast, folks.
That's the month of fasting. They do that every day. And then you don't even have to you know, skip lunch if you're a pregnant woman, a woman who's nursing, or a mental patient.
Sick. Right.
Or if you're sick, you just go right ahead and eat.
Right.
Kind of crazy.
Yes. Well, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very nerve-wracking couple of days for the people in Israel, the Americans in Israel. But one little bit of advice I'd like to say to the people in Israel, and I will be covering this in a couple of weeks. I understand about the hostages. I understand how the families must feel. But the families need to understand, Bibi is a very smart man. He knows they're gone. Most of those hostages, except for the ones released in the first ceasefire, most of them have been killed. He needs to do, whether it's with this Iran thing or with Gaza, he needs to be able to do what he has to do.
Right.
Sometimes in war, the few have to be sacrificed so the whole can survive.
Well,
I understand the reasons why they're doing this. I sympathize with them 100%. But with what Israel is facing right now from Iran, they really need to back off.
They do, but will they? That's the question.
Now, I don't know.
You know, you talk about the hostages. Word is even now coming out of Hamas that they may be able to turn over some 40 hostages, but they won't all be alive.
Right. The bodies. Okay. They're talking about the bodies. And I would think that if any hostages are still alive, if, and I'm saying a big if, there might be one or two military that they use as leverage. What I feel absolutely terrible for is that family with the little baby that turned 1 year old. Some of the words coming out of Israel is they've been long gone. There's no verification, of course, until bodies are returned. It's a terrible situation, but these families unknowingly are causing some friction, and friction is not what Israel needs right now.
I agree. You know, Bibi's got to do what Bibi's got to do.
Yes.
And I think
what he has to do.
I think the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. Go in, you know, get it done, and get out.
we're gonna keep a very sharp eye over the weekend and, you know, throughout the next week or so on what's happening over in Israel. And I guarantee you we'll have more to talk about on that very topic next Tuesday on the show, because right. I would not be a bit surprised if something happens this weekend. You know, what kind of an attack it might be, we don't know. What Israel's response would be, we don't know. What America's response would be, we don't know. I mean, these are all the open-ended things that are out there right now. So, you know, while we get a week, or not a week, but a few days, couple of days off from dealing with Facebook nonsense, you and I are going to be very glued to our contacts and news reports and everything else. Because come Tuesday, I guarantee you this topic will be at the top of the list again.
Yeah. And if anything does break, you'll find it in breaking news on our RSP website, and you'll also find it on breaking news. Craig and I will put it up all of the Facebook, MeWe, the alternate venues,
right.
Twitter, whatever.
Right. Okay, so we've hit the bottom of the hour. That means we have to take a quick break, but we still have a couple of topics that we need to get into before we wrap this show up. So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday night show. And if you miss any part of it, go to rspradio1.com. Tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you can hear all of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So, correct me if I'm wrong. Hasn't Joe Biden been grousing and complaining and stumbling over his words, trying to condemn President Trump for the possibility of using campaign funds to pay some legal bills? Has Joe not done that?
Absolutely, he has done it, and he's done it to a tune. The DNC has paid more than $1.5 million to Biden's personal lawyer, his name is Bob Bauer, for his legal woes.
So let me get this straight.
$5 million, folks, in less than a year.
Let me get this straight.
Over a year.
So Joe Biden has complained about Trump and the possibility of Trump using campaign financing to pay legal bills, and then Joe turns around and does it himself.
Right.
And it's interesting.
Been doing it longer than Trump was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Fascinating. Yes. Has there been any word from your favorite person on the planet?
My favorite person on the planet?
Karine Jean-Pierre?
Oh, you mean the woman who looks like a toilet bowl brush, that one?
Yeah,
Medusa,
that one.
I call her.
Yeah. Has she came out and uttered any falsehoods about this?
Well, what happened when she was questioned at one of her press conferences, she wouldn't answer.
Oh, no. I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked. Apparently, she didn't have the answer written down in her binder.
Yeah, that's true. That woman never should have been picked to be press secretary, but she did check off all the boxes needed. The
well,
woke
she
boxes.
Did. She did. Yeah. You know, she's black. She's lesbian. She's a liberal.
She's a she.
Well, maybe. I mean, can we even say that about, you know?
No, because I think she's a she.
Well, liberals can't even identify what a woman is.
That's true. We forget about that.
You know, and, you know, so we don't know what her pronouns are, right? I don't know if she's ever mentioned her pronouns. She's too busy lying. And there's another box. She's a pathological liar.
Liar, and that's a checkoff box. But another thing is there was one person, and it was a DNC spokesperson. His name is Alex Floyd, who did respond when asked, you know, the comparison between Trump spending some campaign monies and Biden. And what he said was, quote, "The DNC does not spend a single penny of grassroots donors' money on legal bills, unlike Donald Trump, who actively solicits legal fees from his supporters and has drawn down every bank account he can get his hands on, like a personal piggy bank," end quote. Well, guess what? Joe's doing the same thing.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly the same thing.
Hypocritical much?
Yeah.
I mean,
totally.
It's just amazing. Now, add this to the list. That's the way I look at it. Add this to the list. They accuse Trump of colluding with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It was really Hillary, the DNC, and their FBI that colluded with Russia.
Oh, absolutely.
When they came up with the dossier, right? They used Russian disinformation services to put together the fake dossier, the Steele dossier. And also the fact that they accused Donald Trump of quid pro quo, when we actually have Joe Biden on video bragging about his quid pro quo when he was the VP.
Right.
You know, and I've always said, if you ever want to know what liberals are really up to, just look at what they accuse Republicans of doing.
Yeah.
Add this to the list.
They're quite telling.
Accusing Trump of rifling through the piggy bank from donors to pay for his legal fees, and then you turn around and you find out Joe Biden's doing it.
Well, I want to throw something into that, and it doesn't relate to this funding, but it does relate to what you're saying. Do you remember back in the 2016 election when Trump beat Hillary?
Oh, yeah.
Hillary never conceded, and Hillary said the election was stolen from her.
Right.
Nothing was done about her claims.
Nope. But Trump's the election denier.
Right. Okay. And to this day, she has not admitted that she lost.
Right. They accused Trump of inciting an insurrection when you got liberals all over the map actually paying the legal fees for the rioters.
Yes.
In 2021 to get them out.
Oh, yeah.
And telling them, keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
The list just keeps growing and growing.
Well, this is even funnier. Here you have someone from the DNC admitting that they've used the campaign funds, admitting it. But here we have, his name is Ruford Gifford. He's the campaign's finance chairman, in other words, Biden's. This is what he said, quote, "Every single dime that you give to the Biden-Harris reelection campaign, we spend talking to voters. We are not spending money on legal bills," end quote. Really? But your counterpart said they are. Admitted they are.
Yeah.
But not as much as Trump. I mean, these Democrats, they're getting worse by the day.
You know, they're accusing Trump of being a threat to democracy, and they're the ones that are trying to throw their political opponents in prison.
Well, you know, Craig, that's another thing I have a big beef about, this whole threat to democracy nonsense. I don't know how many times I have to say this. I don't know how many times I have to write this in articles. But the United States of America is not a democracy. The word democracy does not even appear in the Constitution. What we are is a constitutional republic. Democracy is mob rule.
Well,
we are not, nor have we ever been, technically a democracy. Trump is not a threat to a democracy. Joe Biden is a threat to our constitutional republic.
See, you're half right.
Okay. I'm fully right.
No, you're only half right, and I'll tell you why. We're supposed to be a constitutional republic. What we are today is a banana republic.
Oh, well, okay. If you put
you're only half right. You got the republic part right.
Okay, if you put it that way. And until we understand that concept, a democracy, folks, is mob rule. Look it up. Constitutional republic, we vote for the people to represent us and our interests. That's what our founders and framers wanted. That's what our Declaration of Independence says. There is no word democracy in the Constitution, nor is there the word Jesus, Christian, Jew, whatever. We are a republic, plain and simple. And until we understand that and start going back to the Constitution, we need to throw this democracy nonsense aside.
The closest anybody of our founding fathers ever got to even mentioning druids is the fact that we have to water the tree of liberty with the blood of tyrants.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, this is ridiculous. How Trump is not a threat to democracy. Joe Biden is not a threat technically to democracy, although he thinks we're a democracy, so he's a threat in his own mind. But until we get it right, to who we are, we don't even know who we are at this point.
Yeah, I know. I know. It is what it is. Look, we need to talk about some new numbers that came out.
Oh, must we?
Yes, we must, because
they're very bad, folks.
Biden's been out there bragging and bragging and bragging about how the economy is doing so great and how our inflation is down and everything. You know, turns out that's not quite right.
No, it isn't. And the reason is inflation actually grew in the month of March, while on the campaign trail, Biden's going, inflation is coming down. Joe, it's gone up.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops moment, right?
Another one.
Yes.
You know, you can look at all the numbers you want, folks. You can look at, try to make sense out of some of these reports that come out. The only numbers that really matter are the numbers in your checking account. Go to the grocery store, go to the gas station, buy something and tell me inflation's coming down. And you look at the housing market, okay? Mm-hmm. The housing prices are going up and up and up. And here's the problem. If the Fed cuts the rate right now, then the housing market is going to go out of sight. The price of houses is going to go out of sight, because if the mortgage rate comes down, everybody's going to want to buy a house, and all of a sudden there's great demand, which is going to drive up the price of housing again.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad all around. In fact, inflation jumped 3.5% in the past 12 months under Biden. That was higher than what anyone was thinking, because in February it had already jumped 3.2%. Now it's up to 3.5%. You can see it, like you said, in the grocery store. I know when we go every week, we buy the same stuff, and every week it goes up $20, $21, $23 for the exact same stuff I bought the week before. Gas prices are on the rise again. But Biden's out there saying how wonderful Bidenomics is. No, it's not. It stinks. No, it's not.
You know, people, what people don't realize when these inflationary reports come out, when they talk about inflation being at 3.5%, they're talking about an average.
Right.
Okay. If you look at groceries, groceries are up 30%. If you look at gas, it's up 21%, 22%. If you look across the board at the things that most Americans have to buy, okay, it could be rent, could be a mortgage, could be your groceries, could be gas, could be heating and cooling your home. Those things are all up by at least 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you hear that inflation is 3.2 and then it goes up to 3.5, what they're talking about is an average. What they don't tell you is what are they looking at to come up with that average. When you look at all the things that I just mentioned being 20, maybe 30% higher, okay, mm-hmm. that means they're looking at some stuff that has come down. So as you get an average inflationary rate of 3.5%, but they won't tell you what they're looking at.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that upsets me big time is, I think it was yesterday or the day before, they came out with a list of the top 10 areas in the country that are experiencing the highest inflation.
Right.
Number one was the Honolulu area. And I can understand why. They're an island. Everything's got to get shipped over there, whatever.
Right.
Okay, inflation and the areas that it hit is what bothered me even more than what I'm going to say now. Inflation, the second highest place for inflation is in the Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, or Broward County, Palm Beach, you know, that area, a little bit of St. Lucie, a little bit of this and that. We are at the second highest in the country. And then it went down the list. There was San Bernardino, California, St. Louis, Missouri, and down. What the common denominator is in all those areas, those are the richest areas in the country.
Right.
The inflation is hurting the richer areas than it is the, I don't mean poor, they're poor areas. I'm just saying the less rich, let's say, areas of the country. New York City, which is a hellhole right now, didn't even make that list. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, and part of the reason for New York not making the list, quite honestly, is a lot of big money has moved out of New York.
Right, right. And Dallas, Texas was on the list. We're talking about the areas of the country that are known to have higher incomes, homes are more expensive, whatever. So what is happening is, just like with jobs creation, the inflation is actually hurting the people that are trying to help the other people.
Right, right. Which makes it even worse.
Which makes it worse. Yeah. Like I said, one week, $20 more, then the next week, $25 more. I mean, this is ridiculous going into the stores, and the gas prices are going up. And the you go to a restaurant now, even something as simple, let's say a diner, you can't get out of there without $50 at least for lunch.
Yeah, I mean it's getting insane.
It is insane.
Everything that you have to do everything that you go to a fast food restaurant. What, you know, a couple of people used to be able to go into a fast food restaurant and get out of there for $15.
Mm-hmm.
Try getting out of McDonald's now for anything under $30 for two people. You know, I mean, you can't. And there are places in the country where your fast food bill for two people is going to be somewhere between $35 and $50, depending on where you are. One of the big problems is when you look at inflation, you have to look at people's real income.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And inflation is outpacing real income.
Yes,
so your garden variety average American, you know, punching the clock and going to work, the goods that they have to buy, their groceries, gas for the car, paying the rent, paying their mortgage, paying for their insurance. Car insurance is going up. Homeowners insurance is going up. Health insurance is going up. Okay. The things they have to pay for are costing more than any pay increase that they've gotten. So they're actually falling further behind.
Behind. Yep. And yet, hey, we're all suffering. Every American is suffering here now with this inflation. I don't care how much money you have or how little money you have. We're all suffering to one degree or another. But what is Biden doing about it? He's taking $7.4 billion for student loans.
Well, and that's another stimulus, okay?
Yeah.
And you look at the leading
garnering tactic.
Yes, but it's a stimulus, all right?
Yeah.
And you talk to all the major economists that are out there, and they'll tell you that we're in the position we're in. The economy is in the position it's in. Inflation is what it is because of the rampant spending on stimulus by Biden. For the past 3 years, it's ongoing, never ending, always increasing, more money for nothing to whoever, whether it's student loan forgiveness, whether it's the COVID, you know, stimulus packages, this, that, or the other thing. All, you know, all this money, none of it belongs to the government. They have to print it or steal it from the taxpayers.
Right. And what's going to happen when they run out of the treasure to back it up?
I'll tell you what, I worry about that because I don't know how much backing we have.
Either do I. I mean, there's always the gold, but, you know, even the gold is in jeopardy.
Yeah,
you know,
much
now
do we
you
actually
see on
have?
TV all this time, invest in gold, don't invest in this, don't invest in that, don't invest in gold. But what happens? We're all going to walk around with our pockets full of gold bullions? No.
No. I mean, it's a bigger mess and getting worse every day. But you got Biden out there. Oh, yeah, inflation's down. No, it's not.
Yeah. But you know what? It's still Biden's out there, but this is still Obama running the show.
Absolutely. This is his third term.
Yeah, and he's going to, if we don't start doing something about the election integrity, it could very well be his fourth term.
That's what he's hoping for.
Yep.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. So Americans are suffering. Americans are hurting. Inflation's going up. The consumer index is going down.
Right.
Okay. I mean, these are all things that you have to look at when you're talking about the U.S. economy. And in the middle of all this, Biden's hosting a state dinner and having a whole bunch of highfalutin idiots over to the White House.
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, right now, though, he's on his way back to Delaware because he needs another vacation.
Right, because he hasn't had a vacation in 4 days.
I know. How dare he? You know, the poor man, he's entitled once a week at least.
I mean, you know, I can understand, you know, you got the prime minister of Japan, you know, and the prime minister's wife, and they're in town. And, you know, you want to do something nice. But in the middle of our economy, when people are trying to figure out how they're, you know, well, am I going to buy gas for the car? Am I going to put food on the table? Or am I going to pay the mortgage? Right. And then you have this big dinner, and you invite a bunch of billionaires, and you got the Clintons over there. You got, you know, another one of Diane's favorite people, Jeff Bozo.
Yes.
You know, and you know, you got all this stuff going on, and you're putting on an event like that and ignoring the people. I mean, that's a real let them eat cake moment.
Yeah. Now this... All I can say is remember down ticket on November 5th.
Yeah, you got to vote top to bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, we can take care of a lot of this stuff if we vote top to bottom and get out the vote.
Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting scenario. But can I throw something totally in? Yeah. Different. I was very impressed with Mike Johnson today.
That was an interesting situation. I'm glad you bring that up.
At about 5 o'clock, around that time, he was with President Trump. I believe it was at Mar-a-Lago, but don't hold me to that. And Trump's little speech he gave, okay, it was good. It was Trump. But Mike Johnson gave a very good speech. Why we need to elect Republicans straight down. And he focused on the border, the monies that are going out for these illegals while Americans are hurting, our veterans right. are hurting. I Marjorie Taylor Greene, as far as I'm concerned, has no shot in hell of getting him out. He happens to be a decent speaker.
Yeah, I always question what a Speaker of the House does from time to time. I'm never in 100% lockstep with him. But Mike Johnson seems like he's got a pretty good handle on what needs to be done and what can yes. be done. And that's yes. the big thing. You know, there's a lot of things that the Freedom Caucus once done, but you have to look at what's practical and what can be done, given the right. fact that you've only got a positive margin in the House of two people and you don't control the Senate.
Yeah. And what we Republicans need to remember, bipartisanship is not a dirty word if it's done right. Not one party can get everything they want. It's never been that way. It never will be that way. We should have learned that lesson under Reagan. And we learned it for a while, and then we lost it. Bipartisanship can work if done correctly, with common sense and logic.
I agree.
And I think Johnson is the man, I think, that can handle that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think before we get to bipartisanship with the other side of the aisle, and this is why I think what Johnson said today in that speech with Trump, he is building or trying to build, and if some of these Freedom Caucus members would just shut the hell up for a minute and listen to what the guy has to say, Mike mm-hmm. Johnson is trying to build bipartisanship within the Republican Party. And before we can build bipartisanship with the other side of the aisle, we've got to bring the factions together within our own party.
Yeah, and you know what people forget? And I can say this because I'm not a conservative per se. I'm a constitutional Republican. But the fact is, we know the progressive Uber far left, how dangerous they are. We all know it. But guess what, folks? You go so far to the right, you're shaking hands with the left.
100% correct. But Diane, you and I have run out of time.
Okay, so with that, I'll say nighty-night, folks, and Star Trek awaits.
Thanks for being a part of the fastest hour in radio, folks. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll catch up with you again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.